Penguin Random House Audio presents Meditations, a new translation by Marcus Aurelius, translated by Gregory Hayes, and read for you by Roger Davis.
Book 1, Debts and Lessons. 1. My grandfather Verus, character and self-control. 2. My father, from my own memories and his reputation, integrity and manliness. 3. My mother, her reverence for the divine, her generosity, her inability not only to do wrong but even to conceive of doing it, and the simple way she lived, not in the least like the rich. 4. My great-grandfather, to avoid the public schools, to hire good private teachers, and to accept the resulting costs as money well spent. 5. My first teacher, not to support this side or that in chariot racing, this fighter or that in the games, to put up with discomfort and not make demands, to do my own work, mind my own business, and have no time for slanderers. 6. Diognetus. Not to waste time on nonsense, not to be taken in by conjurers and hoodoo artists with their talk about incantations and exorcism and all the rest of it, not to be obsessed with quail fighting or other crazes like that, to hear unwelcome truths, to practice philosophy and to study with Bacchaeus and then with Tandasis and Marcianus, to write dialogues as a student, to choose the Greek lifestyle, the camp bed and the cloak. 7. Rusticus, the recognition that I needed to train and discipline my character, not to be sidetracked by my interest in rhetoric, not to write treatises on abstract questions, or deliver moralizing little sermons, or compose imaginary descriptions of the simple life or the man who lives only for others, to steer clear of oratory, poetry, and belles lettres. Not to dress up just to stroll around the house or things like that, to write straightforward letters, like the one he sent my mother from Sinuessa, and to behave in a conciliatory way when people who have angered or annoyed us want to make up. To read attentively, not to be satisfied with just getting the gist of it, and not to fall for every smooth talker, and for introducing me to Epictetus's lectures, and loaning me his own copy. 8. Apollonius, independence and unvarying reliability, and to pay attention to nothing, no matter how fleetingly, except the Logos, and to be the same in all circumstances, intense pain, the loss of a child, chronic illness, and to see clearly, from his example, that a man can show both strength and flexibility. His patience in teaching, and to have seen someone who clearly viewed his expertise and ability as a teacher as the humblest of virtues. And to have learned how to accept favours from friends without losing your self-respect or appearing ungrateful. 9. Sextus. Kindness, an example of fatherly authority in the home, what it means to live as nature requires. Gravity without airs, to show intuitive sympathy for friends, tolerance to amateurs and sloppy thinkers, his ability to get along with everyone. Sharing his company was the highest of compliments, and the opportunity an honour for those around him. To investigate and analyze, with understanding and logic, the principles we ought to live by. Not to display anger or other emotions, to be free of passion and yet full of love. To praise without bombast, to display expertise without pretension. 10. The literary critic Alexander. Not to be constantly correcting people, and in particular not to jump on them whenever they make an error of usage or a grammatical mistake or mispronounce something, but just answer their question or add another example, or debate the issue itself, not their phrasing, or make some other contribution to the discussion and insert the right expression unobtrusively. 11. Fronto. To recognize the malice, cunning, and hypocrisy that power produces, and the peculiar ruthlessness often shown by people from good families. 12. Alexander the Platonist. Not to be constantly telling people, or writing them, that I'm too busy, unless I really am. Similarly, not to be always ducking my responsibilities to the people around me because of pressing business. 13. Catullus. Not to shrug off a friend's resentment, even unjustified resentment, but try to put things right. To show your teachers ungrudging respect, the Domitius and Athenodotus story, and your children unfeigned love. 14. My brother Severus. To love my family, truth, and justice. It was through him that I encountered Thrasea, Helvidius, Cato, Dion, and Brutus, and conceived of a society of equal laws governed by equality of status and of speech, and of rulers who respect the liberty of their subjects above all else. And from him as well, to be steady and consistent in valuing philosophy, and to help others and be eager to share, not to be a pessimist, and never to doubt your friend's affection for you, and that when people incurred his disapproval, they always knew it, and that his friends never had to speculate about his attitude to anything. It was always clear. 15. Maximus. Self-control and resistance to distractions. Optimism in adversity, especially illness. A personality in balance. Dignity and grace together. Doing your job without whining. Other people's certainty that what he said was what he thought, and what he did was done without malice. Never taken aback or apprehensive, neither rash nor hesitant, or bewildered or at a loss. Not obsequious, but not aggressive or paranoid either. Generosity, charity, honesty. The sense he gave of staying on the path rather than being kept on it. That no one could ever have felt patronized by him, or in a position to patronize him. A sense of humor. 16. My adopted father. Compassion, unwavering adherence to decisions once he'd reached them. Indifference to superficial honors. Hard work, persistence. Listening to anyone who could contribute to the public good. His dogged determination to treat people as they deserved. A sense of when to push and when to back off. Putting a stop to the pursuit of boys. His altruism, not expecting his friends to keep him entertained at dinner or to travel with him, unless they wanted to, and anyone who had to stay behind to take care of something always found him the same when he returned. His searching questions at meetings, a kind of single-mindedness almost, never content with first impressions or breaking off the discussion prematurely. His constancy to friends, never getting fed up with them or playing favourites. Self-reliance, always, and cheerfulness. And his advance planning, well in advance, and his discreet attention to even minor things. His restrictions on acclamations and all attempts to flatter him. His constant devotion to the Empire's needs, his stewardship of the treasury, his willingness to take responsibility and blame for both. His attitude to the gods, no superstitiousness, and his attitude to men, no demagoguery, no currying favour, no pandering. Always sober, always steady, and never vulgar or a prey to fads. The way he handled the material comforts that fortune had supplied him in such abundance, without arrogance and without apology. If they were there, he took advantage of them. If not, he didn't miss them. No one ever called him glib or shameless or...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?